Saint Joseph shared the happiness, but also the sufferings, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Seven Sundays devotion honors the seven joys and sorrows of Saint Joseph. It starts on the seventh Sunday before the solemnity of Saint Joseph on March 19th, which is either the last Sunday of January or the first Sunday of February. Join me now in this devotion. On the first Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he decided to leave the Blessed Virgin, and his joy when the angel told him the mystery of the Incarnation. Let us pray. O chaste spouse of Mary, great was the trouble and anguish of your heart when you were considering quietly sending away your inviolate spouse. Yet your joy was unspeakable when the surpassing mystery of the Incarnation was made known to you by the angel. By this sorrow and this joy, we beseech you to comfort our souls both now and in the sorrows of our final hour, with the joy of a good life and a holy death, after the pattern of your own life, and death in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit, and her husband, Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to send her away quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. In the course of that pilgrimage of faith that was his life, Joseph, like Mary, remained faithful to God's call until the end. While Mary's life was the bringing to fullness of that fiat first spoken at the Annunciation, at the moment of Joseph's own Annunciation, he said nothing. Instead, he simply did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And this first doing became the beginning of Joseph's way. In the words of the Annunciation, by night, Joseph not only heard the divine truth concerning his wife's indescribable vocation, he also heard once again the truth about his own vocation. This just man, who in the spirit of the noblest traditions of the chosen people, loved the Virgin of Nazareth and was bound to her by a husband's love, was once again called by God to this love. Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife into his home. What was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. From the expressions such as these, are we not to suppose that his love as a man was also given new birth by the Holy Spirit? Are we not to think that the love of God, which has been poured forth into the human heart through the Holy Spirit, molds every human love to perfection? Through his complete self-sacrifice, Joseph expressed his generous love for the Mother of God and gave her a husband's gift of self, even though he decided to draw back so as not to interfere in the plan of God that was coming to pass in Mary. Joseph obeyed the explicit command of the angel and took Mary into his home, while respecting the fact that she belonged exclusively to God. Pray for us, Blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your Son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the second Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he saw Jesus born in poverty, and his joy when the angels announced Jesus' birth. Let us pray. O most blessed Patriarch, glorious Saint Joseph, who were chosen to be the foster father of the Word made flesh, your sorrow at seeing the child Jesus, born in such poverty, was suddenly changed into heavenly exultation when you heard the angelic hymn and beheld the glories of that resplendent night. By this sorrow and this joy, we implore you to obtain for us the grace to pass over from life's pathway, to hear angelic songs of praise, and to rejoice in the shining splendor of celestial glory. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Journeying to Bethlehem for the census in obedience to the orders of legitimate authority, Joseph fulfilled for the child the significant task of officially inserting the name Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth, in the registry of the Roman Empire. This registration clearly shows that Jesus belongs to the human race as a man among men, a citizen of the world, subject to laws and civil institutions, but also savior of the world. As guardian of the mystery hidden for ages in the mind of God, which begins to unfold before his eyes in the fullness of time, Joseph, together with Mary, is a privileged witness to the birth of the Son of God into the world on Christmas night in Bethlehem. Joseph was an eyewitness to this birth, which took place in conditions that, humanly speaking, were embarrassing, a first announcement of that self-emptying that Christ freely accepted for the forgiveness of sins. Joseph also witnessed the adoration of the shepherds, who arrived at Jesus' birthplace after the angels had brought them the great and happy news. Later, he also witnessed the homage of the Magi, who came from the east. Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your Son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the third Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he saw Jesus' blood shed in circumcision, and his joy in giving him the name Jesus. Let us pray. O glorious Saint Joseph, who faithfully obeyed the law of God, your heart was pierced at the sight of the most precious blood that was shed by the infant Savior during his circumcision. But the name of Jesus gave you new life and filled you with quiet joy. By this sorrow and this joy, obtain for us the grace to be freed from all sin during life and to die rejoicing with the holy name of Jesus in our hearts and on our lips. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. A son's circumcision was the first religious obligation of a father, and with this ceremony, Joseph exercised his right and duty with regard to Jesus. The principle that holds that all the rites of the Old Testament are a shadow of the reality serves to explain why Jesus would accept them. As with all the other rites, circumcision too is fulfilled in Jesus. God's covenant with Abraham, of which circumcision was a sign, reaches its full effect and perfect realization in Jesus, who is the yes of all the ancient promises. At the circumcision, Joseph names the child Jesus. This is the only name in which there is salvation. Its significance had been revealed to Joseph at the moment of his annunciation. You shall call the child Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In conferring the name, Joseph declares his own legal fatherhood over Jesus, and in speaking the name, he proclaims the child's mission as Savior. Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your Son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the fourth Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he heard the prophecy of Simeon, and his joy when he learned that many would be saved through the sufferings of Jesus. Let us pray. O most faithful Saint Joseph, who shared the mysteries of our redemption, the prophecy of Simeon, touching the sufferings of Jesus and Mary, caused you to shudder the mortal dread, but at the same time filled you with a blessed joy for the salvation and glorious resurrection that would be attained by countless souls. By this sorrow and this joy, obtain for us that we may be of the number of those who, through the merits of Jesus and the intercession of Mary, the Virgin Mother, are predestined to a glorious resurrection. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of thy people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. This rite to which Luke refers includes the ransom of the firstborn and sheds light on the subsequent stay of Jesus in the temple at the age of 12. The ransoming of the firstborn is another obligation of the father and is fulfilled by Joseph. Represented in the firstborn is the people of the covenant, ransomed from slavery in order to belong to God. Here too, Jesus, who is the true price of ransom, not only fulfills the Old Testament rite, but at the same time transcends it, since he is not a subject to be redeemed, but the very author of redemption. The Gospel writer notes that his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, in particular at what Simeon said in his canticle to God, when he referred to Jesus as the salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel, and a sign that is spoken against. It pleased God in his goodness and wisdom to reveal himself and to make known the mystery of his will. His will was that all should have access to the Father through Christ, the Word made flesh in the Holy Spirit, and thus become sharers in the divine nature. Together with Mary, Joseph is the first guardian of this divine mystery. Together with Mary, and in relation to Mary, he shares in this final phase of God's self-revelation in Christ, and he does so from the very beginning. Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, You chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the fifth Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he had to flee to Egypt, and his joy in being always with Jesus and Mary. Let us pray. O most watchful guardian of the Son of God, glorious Saint Joseph, great was your toil in supporting and waiting upon the Son of God, especially during the flight into Egypt. Yet how you rejoiced to have God Himself always near you. By this sorrow and this joy, obtain for us the grace that would keep us safe from the devil, especially the help we need to flee from dangerous situations. May we serve Jesus and Mary, and for them alone may we live and happily die. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Herod learned from the Magi, who came from the east, about the birth of the King of the Jews. And when the Magi departed, he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, and in all that region who were 2 years old or under. By killing them all, he wished to kill the newborn King of the Jews, whom he had heard about. The Church deeply venerates this family, and proposes it as the model of all families. Inserted directly in the mystery of the Incarnation, the family of Nazareth has its own special mystery. And in this mystery, as in the Incarnation, one finds a true fatherhood, the human form of the family of the Son of God, a true human family, formed by the divine mystery. In this family, Joseph is the father. His fatherhood is not one that derives from begetting offspring, but neither is it an apparent or merely substitute fatherhood. Rather, it is one that fully shares in authentic human fatherhood and the mission of a father in the family. This is a consequence of the hypostatic union. Humanity takes up into the unity of the divine person of the Word Son, Jesus Christ. Together with human nature, all that is human, and especially the family, as the first dimension of man's existence in the world, is also taken up in Christ. Within this context, Joseph's human fatherhood was also taken up in the mystery of Christ's incarnation. Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the sixth Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he was afraid to return to his homeland, and his joy on being told by the angel to go to Nazareth. Let us pray. O glorious Saint Joseph, you marveled to see the King of Heaven obedient to your commands. Your consolation in bringing Jesus out of the land of Egypt was troubled by your fear of Archelaus. Nevertheless, being assured by an angel, you lived in gladness at Nazareth with Jesus and Mary. by this sorrow and this joy, obtain for us that our hearts may be delivered from harmful fears, so that we may rejoice in peace of conscience, and may live with Jesus and Mary, and like you, may die in their company. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus reigned over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, He shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Work was a daily expression of love in the life of the family of Nazareth. The gospel specifies the kind of work Joseph did in order to support his family. He was a carpenter. This simple word sums up Joseph's entire life. For Jesus, there were hidden years, the years to which Luke refers after recounting the episode that occurred in the temple. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. This submission or obedience of Jesus in the house of Nazareth should be understood as a sharing in the work of Joseph. Having learned the work of his presumed father, he was known as the carpenter's son. If the family of Nazareth is an example and model for human families in the order of salvation and holiness, so too, by analogy, is Jesus' work at the side of Joseph the carpenter. In our own day, the Church has emphasized this by instituting the liturgical memorial of Saint Joseph the Worker on May 1st. Human work, and especially manual labor, receives special prominence in the Gospel. Along with the humanity of the Son of God, work, too, has been taken up in the mystery of the Incarnation, and has also been redeemed in a special way. At the workbench where he plied his trade together with Jesus, Joseph brought human work closer to the mystery of the redemption. In the human growth of Jesus in wisdom, age, and grace, the virtue of industriousness played a notable role, since work is a human good which transforms nature and makes man, in a sense, more human. What is crucially important here is the sanctification of daily life, a sanctification that each person must acquire according to his or her own state, and one which can be promoted according to a model accessible to all people. Saint Joseph is the model of those humble ones that Christianity raises up to great destinies. He is the proof that in order to be a good and genuine follower of Christ, there is no need of great things. It is enough to have the common, simple, and human virtues, but they must be true and authentic. Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your Son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the seventh Sunday, we honor Saint Joseph's sorrow when he lost the child Jesus, and his joy in finding him in the temple. Let us pray. O glorious Saint Joseph, pattern of all holiness, when you lost the child Jesus, you sought him sorrowing for the space of 3 days until with great joy you found him again in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. By this sorrow and this joy, we ask you with our hearts upon our lips to keep us from ever having the misfortune of losing Jesus through mortal sin. Grant also that we always may seek him with unceasing sorrow when we commit a serious sin, until we find him again, ready to show us his great mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. Joseph, of whom Mary had just used the words, "your father," heard this answer. That, after all, is what all the people said and thought. Jesus was the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. Nonetheless, the reply of Jesus in the temple brought once again to the mind of his presumed father what he had heard on that night 12 years earlier. "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." From that time onwards, he knew that he was a guardian of the mystery of God, and it was precisely this mystery that the 12-year-old Jesus brought to mind: "I must be in my Father's house." Pray for us, blessed Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your infinite wisdom and love, you chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the mother of your Son. As we enjoy his protection on earth, may we have the help of his prayers in heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh.